2 minutes afternoon. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm your host, Corey Lane, and we're in with producer and technical operator, my friend, your friend, Dennis DJ Johnson. You know the number, 4341719, all the WhatsApps you've not been able to access today. I'll ask Dennis if you could copy and paste and send me or forward any that may jump out that I may read you a template you can use to send me urgent WhatsApp, 249-9708. That's 249-9708. If you're using it for Brass Tacks, only send when I'm on the air, please. Please, I beg you, 249-9708. Just to WhatsApp me anything burning that you believe should be read on air. It, you know, it's something that is of that high import that you want to get out there. So with that said, there was something I wanted to talk about on the return. Yes, there's a message here that I am to read to you. It continues in the vein of 2021. It's a police notice. It says the Royal Barbados Police Force wishes to inform the public that the Hastings Worthing Police Station has been temporarily closed with effect from today, Wednesday, January 6, 2021, until further notice. This closure is due to the COVID-19 contact tracing investigations, including a police officer attached to the station. As a result, the public is asked to direct their calls for service to the police emergency number 211 or 430-7100. That is 211 or 430-7100. The general public is further advised that visits to police stations should be avoided and made only as a last resort or in emergency cases. All police officers who are currently on vacation leave are asked to report to their respective stations, formation, or units immediately. And this is coming from Station Sergeant Acting Michael Blackman from the Public Relations Department. Again, all police officers who are currently on vacation leave are required to report to their respective station, formations, or units immediately. Okay, no, that sounds very serious. So if you're a police officer listening to Brass Tacks, don't please switch it off so you didn't hear the notice. Report to your station, formations, or units immediately. Okay, I think we have Lynn Marie and Clay Cave from the QEH on the line. About this segment of Brass with them, welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Clyde Cave, Director of Medical Services, and we have the Executive Chair, Mrs. Juliet Bynoe-Sutherland, here with us as well.
Okay, my long lost friend. Good afternoon and welcome to both of you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Corey. Good to hear from you as well. We called in this morning because we realize it's important to get certain key messages through to the public that whereas it's understandable that there may be a closure of some businesses due to what is happening across the country, we wanted to give the assurance of continuity of services here at the hospital and that there's no need to make a rush on health services because we are aware of what has happened. We have been planning for this for a few months. Most countries we're expecting a second wave, so we were planning. So we've been ready to implement plans at Harrison's Point, Blackman Gallup, provide the necessary support elsewhere. We met with our staff yesterday, and we're now in a position to appraise the public fully of what is happening in terms of cases at the hospital. As you would appreciate, Corey, we wouldn't want our staff to be reading about what is happening at the hospital from within the media and not hearing from the administration itself. So we would have had a very, very well-attended Zoom meeting with our staff yesterday evening. But we really, the key messages, because we really had a crush on services at our main entrance this morning, we want to give that clear assurance that we will be implementing social distancing and spacing, and we really need the public to cooperate with us. And I'll let Dr. Clay speak to what is happening in terms of clinical service delivery.
Right. I've just come from doing rounds on the ground floor of the hospital, and actually inside the building, as opposed to what's seen outside, and we realize that that's been circulated a lot on social media. Inside the hospital, it's actually very well controlled. Our outpatient departments, people are appropriately spaced. Our pharmacy, it's appropriately spaced. But as you will appreciate, in order to do this, we have to have a point of entry control system. I guess that's been working well. The problem has been demand, and people have been showing up. I think they're showing up from a position of anxiety, maybe, and also the tradition where appointments had to be made in person at the hospital, which is something we are working to change, and just the Barbadian culture where you come to do things in person. Those are the kinds of things that affected crowded in supermarkets, crowding in police stations, everywhere else where we're trying to tell people just be calm. Emergencies and urgencies are certainly being attended to. You know, an appointment being made tomorrow or next week as opposed to today. You know, that's not something you have to risk your health with by coming and jamming up in front of the hospital.
I wanna ask a few questions, and I think it's questions that a lot of Barbadians would have on their mind. But before I even get there, I want to start with the human element of this, because I think we forget when we talk about PPE and we talk about the protocols and so on, we forget that we're dealing with human beings first. And I really want to ask both you, Director of Medical Services, Dr. Clyde Cave, and you, the Executive Director, Mrs. Juliette Bynoe-Sutherland, how are you all coping? And I'm talking from a personal standpoint in dealing with this. How are you all coping with all that is happening right now? Let's start there.
Right. And, you know, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, the country's largest employer, we are a slice of the country. Everything that you see elsewhere, we are seeing here. And you're right. All our workers, whether they're professional or not, our people and Barbadians too, and the whole country is going through a time of heightened anxiety. The things that we knew were coming and planned for, all of a sudden it has become real, and people are realizing the personal impact. In addition to that, a lot of our staff are tired. They have been working for long hours on very short notice. You will have heard that we stood up extra isolation facilities in practically record time and had to respond to an increased demand for services at Harrison Point. Coupled with the parts that people forget, we still have the regular sick people in this country to look after, and the hospital for a while has been running quite full. You know, so all those factors are coming together now to make people very much on edge. And unfortunately, some people in the community have been very belligerent and accusatory when dealing with staff. And unfortunately, you know, that's not helping us to respond in an orderly manner. But I think the staff are gradually coming to understand that the things that are happening now are the things we have planned for. It's just to follow the protocols, as you said, and realize that they do work. I think that's the personal fear that you're alluding to that is always, from any kind of doctor, nurse, orderly, maid, even though you might know something, you might feel differently when faced with the realities that we are faced with now. Mrs. Bynoe-Sutherland?
Just adding to what Clyde said, and recognizing all of this, we knew we've had to put additional support for staff. So part of that included, on the last occasion, the Department of Psychiatry making themselves available, having now engaged the services of private psychologists to be able to give staff support. And generally, we're looking to be responsive. The mental health of our staff and the mental health of patients has been considered one of the overlooked aspects of this epidemic. And certainly as an institution, with our awareness of this, we're making sure those necessary supports. We've said to the staff at our meeting So we're here to support each other, and we are as strong as our weakest link. So as an institution, we're really pulling together because we recognize that Barbados needs us now to be strong and really hold out and do all that is required to take us through this next phase of the epidemic, because we have not been able to withstand what is happening in the community. We are affected, our colleagues are affected, and it is going to be a new normal within the hospital to be like other hospitals coping with what is happening in the community.
All right, excellent. The reason I ask is that I know sometimes when we have to set up the triage, when we have like what is called a mass incident thingy.
Mass casualty, right?
When they interview some of the professionals after, they talk about they're tired and so on. And that's just a very short incident. But we've been in this crisis more almost a year. Almost, it cannot even be called a crisis anymore. Crisis is synonymous with short-lived. But this has been long-lived, if we can put it that way. And that's the reason I ask. Because sometimes people, and it's interesting that Dr. Cave mentioned, that some people are coming and they're not actually cooperating. We know they have their anxieties. We know that when you are faced with a situation personally with someone close to you, or you yourself are injured, you're not in the best of mood. But I ask that question so the listening public will have an understanding that the people that are dealing with you as well are human beings as well. So just wanted to get that out there. Another big question, a very important question, is kind of to give people a crystal clear understanding of the protocols. We went through various protocols at the beginning of this, even with the asthma bay, the asthmatics and all of this. Are these protocols still in place, or do we have enhanced protocols? Somebody, if they have a stump toe, I want you to talk to them. If someone is having a mild asthma attack or a serious asthma attack, I want you to speak to them. I want you to speak to someone you would know the various reasons why people present at the A&E, but I want you to speak to the protocol, the people listening. If something do happen, what should they do?
Well, thank you for that, because it's very important for us to keep the people coming to the hospital down to the people who really need to be here. Mm-hmm. Now, when you are a person about to become a patient because of a problem, real or perceived, that is an emergency to you, not necessarily to other people. The first point of contact for the hospital should be calling our help desk, which is available for telephone contact with, and it's staffed by doctors and experienced nurses. The number is 536-4800, 536-4800, and they will direct you. They can offer first aid advice. They can direct you to the appropriate facility. They can even facilitate your entry to the accident and emergency department. So rather than let me just show up, call. Obviously, if it's an emergency with bleeding or the onset of labor or major trauma, you know, that you call an ambulance for and make on your own steam to the hospital, those still, happen in that way. And the accident and emergency is ready for those kinds of real dire emergencies. It's the ones where they are less urgent to the medical people, but urgent to the patients that are becoming a problem. Right now, today, because the polyclinics are on urgencies and emergencies, I'm getting a report from Accident and Emergency that a lot of people with minor complaints are showing up. And I think that's a judgment every individual person has to make. Is your complaint really worth taking the risk of being out in public with people who you don't know under crowded conditions, whether that's on the bus, you know, or waiting in line somewhere? I think if you use that kind of screen, a lot of people who have come here would not have chosen to come here.
All right, just I want to insert this quickly. I think you touched on this, but I want to put it. Someone online, I understand, is asking why the dressing department was not open on Monday and Tuesday when the PM did say that emergency services must be open. Is the dressing department seen as a non-emergency service?
Yeah.
No, that's not an acute emergency. That should have been rescheduled. You know, a day or two for most dressings doesn't constitute a major risk. You know, a lot of things happened quickly in the country, and we actually did need time to rearrange services. Asthma, you know, accident emergency had to move on to two levels. And in order to do that, we had to utilize the space for outpatients. So we couldn't move accident emergency and have people in the same space. So emergencies were certainly being taken care of. Maybe not all the cases that people perceive as emergencies, but again, should there have been any extraordinary condition that required assistance, calling the help desk and it would have been facilitated.
Excellent, excellent. I just want to flag this. I was going to flag it at the end, but I'm put it right in the middle so that listeners could understand. When I want to commend you for calling in, and the reason I say that is the example you just used, where you had to use the outpatient section. A lot of the time on social media and people wherever they gather, they're experts on everything and they don't understand what's happening in the background. So you have people who are not informed, keeping the, you know, making the most comments, so to speak. And then those who are in the know, the professionals, persons like yourself, when we don't get you, then the society is at a serious disadvantage, because it becomes uninformed or misinformed. And that is why it is important for persons that hold positions like yourself to call in and explain these things to the public. So it's very, very excellent. So in terms of the protocols, I think that makes it a little clearer for persons to understand, you know, emergency, what the difference between emergency, acute emergency, and what may be emergency to a lay person. The other thing is people are having a lot of anxiety about what is going on in social media regarding the nurses. Now, we've always been hearing complaints about shortages with nurses and so on. Can you reassure the public that in relation to the nurses, specifically at the QEH, that you have the situation under control?
Nurses and nursing is one of our most critical departments. What we can confirm in terms of positive cases at the hospital is that we've had one emergency technician, two nurses from the medical intensive care unit, and one temporary or relief worker from the housekeeping department. So what we've been able to do is provide the necessary testing and screening for staff of those impacted departments, emergency medical services at Wilde, MICU here in the hospital, and the housekeeping department, those investigations as to which shift or areas that person would have been involved with, we are including as well. But for us, we recognize that our nursing staff, if you look around the globe, nurses and physicians, and in our hospital, housekeeping staff are on the front line of the response. So it is critically important that we provide the necessary support to them. So we're going to be ensuring that as a hospital, we are on the floor, our nursing leadership and those who are retired and who return to support us are continuing to give the necessary support. What I can assure the public is that we have sufficient enough PPE, public and staff, at the hospital to meet the needs of the nursing department. And we've been at pains to make sure that all of our nursing staff are very clear on what the policies are with regards to staff exposure, visitors, the restrictions on visitation. These are the kinds of issues that we're doing to make sure that our nurses feel supported and that we're managing the risk in the broader community. Corey, we'll also be holding a press conference tomorrow afternoon where we're going to lay out carefully for the public what are the pillars of our response. The hospital's response is built on three main areas: patient safety first, staff safety second, and service continuity third. And we think it is important that people be aware of what you called earlier, the enhanced initiatives and procedures that we're undertaking at the hospital in all of those areas so that people can be responsive when we're directing them to changes.
Excellent. So the press conference, give us some information on that, those listening that they could tune in and see what's happening there.
I think we're now planning it, literally, so we're going to pin down the time, but we're looking at tomorrow afternoon. We'll give some definitive time. We'll come back through on the program so that you can, your listeners tomorrow can get the definitive time. But it'll be after the brass tack period so that everyone can tune in.
All right. Okay. We won't play during brass tack, so we won't have anyone following it. Okay. There's I have three quick questions from our disabled community. They're asking about arrangements for persons needing to collect medication. If you could just say something quick on that.
Yeah, we have a medication delivery service. I don't know if everyone is aware of it. Barbados Postal Service, as well as Hopscotch, which is a local delivery company. One of the things that happened with COVID, that COVID brought certain innovations as an institution that we decided to sustain. A part of how we decompress or reduce the numbers in our pharmacy has been doing a medication delivery person. So it's important that people call the medication delivery service and or help desk can direct them to that. And we should be in a position to get medication to persons with disability. Right. This is really important. Because this is part of the congestion of people coming into the hospital are people coming for a medication. And we understand how important medication is to treatment, but we would wish people to really get on board with the changes that we've initiated to have medication delivered. The number for our medication delivery line is 536-4804, 536-4804. We know that people, particularly the elderly, like to use the telephone and make their arrangements, but it's also available for online at through QEH Connect, a website, to be able to order your medications online. So we've been using the technology to really reduce the congestion where we can. And people may not be aware, but on average, we do about 1,500 prescriptions per day. Around 500 per day. So it is an important service, and if we can get people ordering online or by telephone, it would help to reduce our numbers.
And this would include, I suspect, repeat prescriptions as well. That's 536-4804. And I will be repeating that throughout the show once I remember. I made a note of both the number 436-4800 for the QEH and for the prescriptions.
4804. Let me repeat it again.
Repeat that. This is the prescription one.
I think you're mixing up the help desk. So let me do the two. To get prescription services, prescriptions delivered, you can go online or you can call 536-4804 is the number for prescription delivery service that can also be accessed online. So you can get your repeat prescriptions through that modality.
And the help desk is 536-4800?
Yes, 536-4800. That help desk is manned by physicians, an EMT, a nurse. We recognize for a hospital that people may be calling with clinical issues. So we need to have a team with sufficient enough expertise that we can direct people who may not be aware that, you know, dizziness that they may think is transient when combined with other symptoms could be maybe the early signs of a stroke or something of that nature. So we recognized it was important to have that level of expertise at a hospital help desk so that we can properly direct people as to what is an emergency and people need to move and move immediately, and what perhaps can be deferred to an outpatient visit or to another occasion.
Okay, we got up in towards the latest, so just want to get in two last quick questions, and the other one is in relation to PPE. Now, we've heard around the world different shortages and things at different hospitals. What is the QEH? What is the position here in Barbados with the PPE?
Well, we've actually been lucky. One of the godsends of Barbados, as all of us recognize by now, has been Dr. Corey Ford. Dr. Corey Ford is an internationally recognized expert in infectious disease. And he would have signaled to us in January, late December, that he was hearing some development across the globe about something happening in China. And he said to us as an administration, the last time we had the Ebola incident, that the greatest challenge that the hospital faced then was getting access to personal protective equipment. Because we're a small island state, the numbers that we need pale in comparison to the United States or even some of our larger neighbors, Jamaica and Trinidad. So what Corey would have done was give us an early notification. And what we did essentially was purchase all the PPE that was available online. I know people from the private sector, when the notice really would recognize that some of the suppliers initially were short, but that was because we took the initiative to just aggressively buy up PPE. So as a result, the hospital is very well placed, Corey. We had a head start.
Yes. Good, Corey. I tell you, he's near Corey, so he knows how things are. He ought to be a good man. I want to thank the Executive Director, Mrs. Juliet Bynoe-Sutherland, and Director of Medical Services, Dr. Clay Cave, for that excellent, excellent information going out to the public. I'm your host, Corey Lane. Now, as I said at the beginning, I will say again, I kind of plug out from this whole thing. You know, I had plug into all. Plug into what? Plug into all. I had to plug out, as we will say. And for me, this is really a thrust. And I say that not to focus on myself, but to focus on those of you who are feeling the weight of all that's happening around us. We see that police are being pulled out. I'm getting information from the prison now. Someone messaged me telling me they are not feeling well. They have to work. We want to know what's happening there. We hear about the nurses, people rushing the hospital. Flash flood. Brass, that Sunday, I understand we're going to have Blaine on. He's looking at the human side of it. Some people are asking if this is the end of the world. Is it the end? Are these the end times? I saw a swarm of dragonflies the other day. And I say, oh, dear, watch out. but again, it's about perspective. We all in this together. Again, we can look at all the innovation, all the positives that come out of this. The ability to re-examine ourselves, spend some extra time with family, say hello to someone you haven't spoke to in a while, to look outside at the rain right now. Usually I'm in the studio, I can't see the rain, but from where I'm sitting right now, I can look outside. And you know, sometimes we see the rain and we stoop. Some farmers, they smile, unless it's too much rain and the crops are flooded out. But I appreciate the crystal clear water coming out of the sky. The beautiful flowers, the trees, the sky, clear blue sky, even the cloudy sky, cozy up, you know. Even those of you who have a human blanket, right about now, on some extra time home because of the COVID, working from home, quote unquote working, you know, to look at the positive side of life. Accentuate the positive. That's what happiness is. I remember there was an ad like that when I was in primary school on television. And I want to reiterate that for you right now. Think about the positive. That's what happiness is. And this, and what this is Brass Stats, the Wednesday edition, where you can give us a call, 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp to 249-9708 for today only, 249-9708.